The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the
good morning. Comes. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know the voice already. It's Stephen Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't have a clue what you're doing at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is that you do, I'm happy that you're doing that do and that you have decided to do that do with me. It's an open line this morning. I feel like I've been talking to you all week. I don't want you all to say I like the sound of my own voice. You know, but Sparky likes to say that about me. So y'all could call me and y'all could talk to me and then we could talk about what y'all want to talk about. You know the rules. Not alien landings, not 5G, not Bill Gates' plan to take over the world. What are the other crazy things? I don't need to find out about quantum physics or science. The regular stuff, right? Let's just talk about the regular stuff, all right? I also see Minister Pia Glover-Roll is in the news this morning because, and I think it is funny the things that I have thought about in my lifetime that I'm actually beginning to watch happen, right? So if this whole radio gig doesn't work, right, I'm going to climb to the highest hill around here. And when I come back down, I intend to come back down with a prophetic ministry, right? Because plenty of the things that I've said, I just see them materializing, albeit years later. So if you know anything about me, you know that I spent 10 years, 9 months, 18 days, and 6 hours as a member of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. The 6 hours all credited to then Lieutenant Commander Michael Sweden. And it was because they couldn't get my discharge certificate sorted out. They must have really liked my service, I'm not sure. But one of the reasons that I left when I did leave was because, you know, I had become interested in politics and following politics and what was going on in the country, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I knew that at some point, the way we were doing the thing that we were doing, called employment for the public service in the Bahamas, was going to be in jeopardy, all right? And I knew, as an 18-year-old boy that joined the Defense Force 2 weeks after my 18th birthday, and a man that would be retiring at 42, that I ran the risk of, by the time as I got to pensionable age, there wouldn't be any way to sufficiently secure my pension, right? And I think we're hearing a lot of it now because I don't know if the government calculates its expenditure in a way that it accounts for the people that will retire. And so every year they kind of have to go through this whole cycle of where will they find this money from for people that have these pensions that are non-contributory, right? And so, you know, Leslie Miller has decried it for quite some time, particularly in the case of, I think it's water and sewage in BEC. And he had said that it was unsustainable. But I mean, the writing has just been on the wall, right? But then this is the thing that troubles my soul. Facebook reminded me just as early as this morning, actually, that 1 year ago, we were at a point where the government of the Bahamas, under the Hubert Menezes regime, thought it wisdom to extend the age of service for people in the military. I, to this date, still think it is the absolute greatest mistake we have ever made in that organization's history. And for more reasons than one. The thing I argue is, If you give this man an additional 5 years to be employable, this man then becomes a salary or a recurring expenditure on the government's expenses for an additional 5 years, right? And then you say, well, at least we don't have to worry about paying this pension. But unless he dies, I don't see how this benefits the Bahamas. I don't see how this additional 5 years benefits people. And now, Pia Glover-Roll is saying, well, even though we have not been able to sort out what will happen with people and their pensions as they go on, etc., we are still hiring people that we have nowhere to put. All right, and I imagine that the unemployment situation around here is going to turn bleak and gray in a couple of days, because I see they're also talking about furloughed workers, and these people are so ungodly. Furloughed workers now have an additional 12 weeks of uncertainty that they have to kind of wade through or wait on. And I don't understand, how are we going to deal with this unemployment situation? Less than accept the government finds some way to stimulate companies in a way that would make them employ these people, because we already know these people are going to say they don't have money and they can't re-engage, but they also can't pay the people. And so we're going to end up with one bunch of frustrated laborers who really and truly are at the bottom of this economic totem pole and will become the victims the more of the circumstance that we now know to be COVID-19 and the pandemic. So there are any number of things around here that I think is creating so much economic uncertainty in the Bahamas. And I just don't know if the population of the Bahamas, like if we are considering these things. I also want to say, and I see the Minister of Housing and Transport has made the news a couple of times, but I've had occasion to drive around this town at nighttime ever since the Prime Minister and his cabinet have decided that there's no need for a curfew. I, in my capacity as Justice of the Peace, must go and continue to check, not that Her Majesty's assets are deployed correctly, but to make sure that Her Majesty's peace is being kept throughout, particularly the inner city of Nassau. And what is disappointing to me is Philip Davis and the Progressive Liberal Party have masterfully waited in the wilderness of opposition. They postured well. They came out well. They charged forward. They convincingly became the government. I'm just not sure, though, knowing the present problems that existed, I see a government that wanted to be the government the day they became the government. I don't understand how we are approaching the Christmas season and there are no boards appointed, all right? And this whole this whole thing you all did where you appoint these bunch of chairmen, I don't really know what that was about. No one puts the icing on the cake before you bake the cake. I mean, I don't understand what was that exercise all about. So that was an exercise, to my estimation, in nothingness, right? Then you have New Providence that had already been under a curfew for 12 months while you were the opposition. And now you are the government. And can I tell you that Nassau cannot survive this bunch of sleeping? Like, 10 o'clock at nighttime, you literally could speed sideways up almost any corridor in Nassau you desire. And it's because no one is open. The government has to put a demand on these businesses, and I mean y'all gas stations too, to open these businesses back up. It's that simple. Unless you wake the place up, the economy cannot pick up. The Minister of Health, if he needs one, give him a Minister of State. He should spend every waking moment of every day of his life for the next 59 months ensuring that we build capacity, ensuring that we strategize in a way to make sure that all us don't dead if COVID get hot again. But I'm telling you, we Nassau, and I wrote an article about a year and a half ago that says, Nassau is the city that pees and goes to bed. I don't even think it peeing before it go to bed no more. I think it just go and sleep early, and if it pee to bed, too bad. Nothing is happening around here in the nighttime. And so the Minister of Housing and the Minister of Transport, right, needs to partner with the Minister of Culture or the Minister of whomever and see if we could do things that have been dysfunctional for a long time, like create a busing system that can run up to 10 or 12 o'clock at nighttime, because there's so little to do in the evening anyhow, that if you now look toward expanding bus operation hours, bus routes, you may be able to stimulate economic movement throughout the town because people now have access to the ability to move beyond the nighttime or beyond the 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock time that is, by law, the cutoff time for public transportation. Maybe now is a good time to work with the taxis so that the only thing they don't keep doing is staying by the airport and by Prince George Wharf, and that they actually facilitate movement throughout the island in the evening time. While there is nothing to do, you have to try and find something to do so that it helps us all go back to normalcy. It is abnormal for these people that will spend their lives in the next 12 weeks to live their lives in that fashion. And the Minister of the Economic Affairs has said, well, we're going to extend the benefit into December. Yes, but what will happen to me in January? Why are we continuing down this? I don't see a government, my apologies, I don't see a government that looks like we planned to deal with COVID once we got here. I don't see a government performing in a fashion that says we planned to rip this economy open once we got the chair. Because we understand that people cannot survive in a stale economy. I don't see a government that says, I've spent 50, the man ain't give you 60 months. He give you 48 and some silvers. But the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party and its leader masterfully spent that 48 months in the wilderness. Yet, I don't understand how is it that, what is it now, 12 weeks? 12 weeks in, I haven't decided these are the group of people that I want to run this thing. This group here is the group of people I want to run that thing. There are some things that were up and running, and here are the people that I believe are going to transition that. Why have we not put, why is this government not yet locked into place, is the question I have. And not just the token positions, but like, where is the body of people that is responsible for the redevelopment of New Providence and what that economy will look like, because it's been dead for 20 months. Where are these? Who's in charge of the public transportation board over at Road Traffic? What exactly is happening other than play and dress up? So we've had the opening of Parliament. We've had the swearing in. Other than play and dress up, what else are we getting done? Again, to the credit of Minister Pia Glover-Roll, I see that she's had an opportunity to wade through whatever was going on down there at immigration and hand out promotions. But if you're telling me that the public service is lulled with people who we ain't gonna where to put them anyhow, then who are you promoting these people to be over? Because, I mean, couldn't we stall the promotion and tell grown men and women, give me until March, right? Let me deal with these people that I pay in the stay home first. Because in order to promote you, I got to be able to find the money. Let me deal with these people that they hire that I don't even know where they just work. And once I square that away, then we move to billet placement. And once we square that away, then we move to who need to be where. But this nonsense, right, of two chief petty officers working in an office together is foolishness. This nonsense of a senior superintendent and another superintendent working together is nonsense. And we don't seem to have learned from any of the lessons of the past. We just continue to keep doing this stuff in the most absolute hodgepodge fashion. And all I'm saying to Mr. Davis is, Mr. Davis, I promise you, as a man that's going to be 70 mid-odd by the time your term is over, the people are already not going to want to consider a second term for a man that old. The best thing you could do is to come out here and swing the bat with all your might. And I don't see that. I apologize if maybe by some chance I live somewhere where it's not happening. Maybe all this stuff is happening above me. I don't know. I don't feel the thrust of government, and I believe that there are going to be hundreds of Bahamians that find themselves in a state of desperation in about 12 weeks. We can't continue to keep dragging people along like this. We can't continue to keep living in a dysfunctional society where people get hired and they don't know where they live or work. And while the country is sleeping, we should be formulating new plans. I hear my music, that means I'm going to a break. Don't move, it's Levin Miller, 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news and smart talk. We'll be back.
Hey, did you find the show interesting? Do you want to be a part of the conversation? Well, sponsor Unleashed today. Call 302-2304 or 302-2375 to see which package is right for you. Join Levon Miller as he ignites the passion of the next generation by bridging the gap with engaging conversations and innovative ideas. Take action and sponsor Unleashed today at 302-2304 or 302-2375 and be unleashed.
Hubert Edwards Global, in collaboration with Dr. Dave Burrows and iRise, presents the 5th Annual Success Summit under the theme, Success Keys to Transform Your World, December 3rd through 4th. 2 days of transformational experiences with dynamic presenters from the Bahamas, Nigeria, Canada, USA, and Jamaica. You can't afford to miss this mind shift moment. 5 scholarship grants, 2 leadership awards, 1 life-changing event. This is a virtual event, so visit www.nlsolutionsbahamas.com for more details. This is what you've been waiting for. Success Summit 2021.
COVID-19. Do not panic. Be prepared. Stay informed about local COVID-19 updates from trusted and reliable sources. Wash your hands regularly and be sure to have hand sanitizers readily available. Keep your surroundings clean and disinfect all surfaces that carry germs. Talk to your family and friends about protecting themselves and staying healthy. For more information on COVID-19, check the Ministry of Health's website at www.bahamas.gov.bs/health and the Bahamas Ministry of Health Facebook page.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning, welcome back, Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. That means I'm unleashed on your radio, and it means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. Let me open the phone lines for you. 323-622-3253-4316, 325-4259. You can call me on those. You can text me on 422-4796. This text right here says, please talk about the furlough workers that banks are threatening. Can they repossess their assets? Collection agencies add more fees to the loan. Bank interests is sending the loans balance sky high. People sending resumes and all are not lucky to land a job. Government $100 weekly has stopped, so how the banks expect them to get money to pay? That is a very good question. And I can tell you, these banks are not being as accommodating as they ought to. This one here says, morning, Levin. Let's go to McDonald's after the show. I'm not going to go to McDonald's because I don't eat McDonald's. I actually don't eat any fast food at all, actually. And I haven't for the last 6 years. I don't eat any one of the franchise foods. Sorry. So I am already assisting them in their boycott because I don't eat it. Ta-da. This one here says, love the show. Good morning. They need to try hard, make the people like myself permanent and pensionable who've been working for years. Today is soup day. Who come and bring me some? I don't know. It ain't raining no death, so I don't expect no soup today. It is important to ventilate the ongoing rash of Nissan note bumper theft. While it may not be practical to police the actual bumper theft, the emphasis ought to be placed on investigating persons on the selling side. Establish a tip line or run sting operations, just do something in this economy. In this economy, having to replace the cost of a bumper is unacceptable. Furthermore, it is only a matter of time before this escalates into violent confrontation. I had actually already said that I believe they should simply take the COVID people, you know, Paw Patrol them and put them at these, what you call these people? The scrap yards? Yeah, and let them act as agents of the state, wards of the state. And you pay them and you, just like how you did the, do you remember when we had the scrap metal thief that was going on, theft that was going on? And so we had to crack down on that. I think we could do the very same thing for the Japanese cars. Let's take this one, go. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning. How you doing, Mr. Miller?
I feel well.
Boy, you know, that's a very interesting statement you make about Mr. Davis to be over 70 at the time of the election, the mm-hmm. next election.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that he should take this opportunity to have and come out swinging, eh?
Yeah.
Now, the thing, the situation that is that I don't think it should be business as usual in this country anymore because our national debt reached a point that we are net a physical grip. I think the rocks is coming from under our foot and we're getting ready to fall over.
I feel the same way. And I'll tell you what gives me great concern. What gives me great concern is that the citizenry appears to still be in March of 2020. And the reason I say that is because, like, again, travel around this island. Nassau is the engine that keeps this country running.
Yes, sir.
And at 10 o'clock at night, I'm telling you, you could almost broadslide your vehicle up any one of the thoroughfares of Nassau. Many of the businesses are still acting as though they're under emergency orders. And I'm saying that the government, through whatever arms or agencies it has, must convince business owners to rip this economy back open. Because other than that, I mean, you're going to end up with people that just go into work but not able to pay bills or have debt that is so high that by the time as they catch the back payment of the debt, they will all be in liquidation.
And it's scary. And then the thing about it is, Mr. Miller, you're absolutely right. I had the opportunity to go to way past the airport last night,
mm-hmm.
and all the communities that you describe is exactly right what's happening, and it's airy. I said, well, these people get institutionalized. They ain't know the curfew over.
Yeah.
And you know, just things are just bad. You dead right? And I went from Paradise Island way past the airport, and none of the communities look alive.
And can I tell you what already bothers me? I traveled throughout the Caribbean a little bit, right? So I did Jamaica, I did Cuba, I did Turks and Caicos, right? And you know what is the one thing that I always, I shirk at every time I hear it, is when people say things to me like that the Cuba tourism product will wake up one day. And I'm telling you as a tourist that visited Cuba, that the tourism product we have here will not survive the awakening of a Cuba tourist market. First of all, Havana is a city that doesn't sleep. And so unless we... By this time, I imagine we should have been figuring out how to create more 24-hour spots, how to create more longer transportation, because we ain't had nothing to do. We had nothing to do for 2 years. And it appears to me as though all the people that we've created, and smart people get mad at me when I say this all the time, but all the smart people that I know don't seem to have come up with anything new in 18 months. And that bothers me because if we're going to... What's happening? If we're going to go into the new Bahamas, if we're going to go into the new way of life, then we're going to need some smart people to come up with some smart stuff. And I don't see it. I don't feel it. I don't hear things that sound to me. Like, we are still celebrating the paving of a strip of road. Are you serious? When politicians under the age of 40 want me to clap because they pave a road, I want to wet them with hot water from a fire hose is what I want to do. Because that won't save us. That's not going to be enough. Anyway, let me take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hey, top of the morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks, my brother. This is Toby. You all right?
Hey, Toby. I feel good.
Excellent. Pleased to hear it. Yeah, man. They need a good weapon, don't they?
Well, so I think about it. I don't know if I could do it, but I think about it a lot.
Yeah, I hear you. Lamar, I need you to bear with me with something.
Sure. Cool? Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I go to the facts, right, of tourism arrival numbers,
mm-hmm.
and I look at 2019, and that's a good year because things are sort of peaking and we didn't have COVID nor anything else that the past prime minister can blame on numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if I look at the 2019 cruise arrivals for the out island only, yeah,
mm-hmm.
The spend was $28,264,946, with the amount of guests of 3,179,919 passengers.
What was that? 28,200 and what?
28,264,946.
Okay.
And the amount of passengers was 3,179,919.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that each of the cruise passengers spent a total on average of $8.89.
Mm-hmm.
And according to what's called a leakage report, that audits the amount of revenues that are generated in the Bahamas, and it calculates how much of those revenues that are generated in the Bahamas are exported back out of the country by the cruise line.
Mm-hmm.
And that's approximately 80 to 85%.
Okay.
So that $8.89 that's spent by the passengers, the Bahamas is only left with approximately $1.33.
Hmm.
Okay, so you look at somewhere like what Royal Caribbean has on Coco Key, where they're charging $100 for the people that go on Coco Key, which is Bahamian Crown Land, plus they upselling them with a bar and Wi-Fi and excursion. Let's put in another $50 for that the passengers spend, right? Mm-hmm. So $3,500 by $150, 3,500 people by $150 is $525,000 a day that they're generating.
Mm.
Right? Mm-hmm. But Coco Key, a.k.a. Little Stirrup Key, because RCL have removed its identity, yeah, they can pull two ships up there.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine 7,000 people pulling up, and they're generating $150 a day in revenues. That's $1,050,000. If they do that all day, every day, that's $383,250,000. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If there's 3,500 guests that come in and they're spending $1.33 each, we end up with $4,655. So you compare $4,000 against $383 million, and you see why the cruise ships, why RCL want to bombard their way in through the Bahamas, right?
I take the point, Toby, and I'll tell you, I want to take the point a little further. You know, again, the people responsible for things around here make my heart sink all the time, right? I don't know how we got a blessing like home porting and inter-island cruising blossomed out of the pandemic only for literally 11 months later it to be a thing that's going away. And I don't understand it. It doesn't even make sense to me. It doesn't make... How did you, right, convince the people that in the middle of a pandemic, a small island nation like the Bahamas had what it took to have cruise ships come in and to not worry about international borders or international crossings or flight moving and all that stuff? We were able to actually do this thing internally. This was something that should have grown into something else.
But it's something that's going away because Toby,
if what you're saying is if we let the cruise ships own the islands, they basically carry back all the money that they bring. I hear that. Right. But imagine if we had the brain power to figure out a sustainable docking way to allow ourselves to be an inter-country cruise destination with the possibility of a home porting scenario, then much of the money that you talk about would be in the pockets of people like Toby and Levin and all these other people around here. And it's because we just don't think far enough. Obviously, everybody threw confetti in the air when Miami port shut down, right?
Right.
Not ever wondering, how do we continue sifting that business towards us? Now Miami port is open back up, and guess where all the cruise ships are sprinted back to? Back to Miami.
That's right. They had to.
We missed a wonderful opportunity.
It's like being married, right?
Yeah.
And having problems in your marriage and going out and finding some, you know, fine other gal,
mm-hmm.
fine other woman, right? And then you decide to go back to your wife after scheming on her, mm-hmm. right? So the CDC laid down some pretty stringent rules because the cruise ships were floating petri dishes of infection and spreading COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, So the cruise lines looked for alternative places to home port.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to the path of least resistance. Look how close we are to Miami.
Yeah.
Look how they can go to their own private keys, keep everybody in a bubble. You don't get any shore excursions because the cruise lines are scaring people or telling them, no, you need to stay within your bubble. If you're going to spend it with us.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go anywhere, you're going with us, and we're going to tax you on that.
Mm-hmm.
So they only treated the Bahamas just like a side check. It was a matter of convenience because we didn't have the same stringency that the CDC did.
But Toby, even in matters of convenience, right, because not all side checks get treated frivolously. Some of them end up with houses and cars.
Right.
You understand my point?
It all boils down to what you negotiate. So negotiate. So let's sit at the theoretical negotiating table, and you've got the Bahamas sitting there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got a cruise line like RCL or Carnival or one of them. They say, listen, if you don't like what we're doing, we could pull out. We could go someplace else. Instead of negotiating from a position of power,
mm-hmm.
which is that we've got all the natural resources that your guests want, we're putting in money into the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
We're fighting crime. We're trying to make downtown more hospitable and all the rest of it. But the cruise lines have realized they might say that the Bahamas is dangerous or Nassau is dangerous. But then the cruise line will say that the Bahamas is their number one destination. They don't qualify that to say that it's Coco Key is their number one destination.
Right.
Where they're making 100% of the revenues. And what the governments have allowed them to do is get all this crown land, which is most of these keys where the cruise lines have their own private keys.
Mm-hmm.
That's all crown land for the most part. So we're letting them then have their own private islands. So they're making 100% of the revenues.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to try sell us this dream that that's a good thing.
Mm. Toby, all I could tell you, my friend, is, I mean, people like you and have to stay and fight and try to see if you could... I don't know. I don't know what people like you ought to do, but somehow you need to have the conversation in the air of someone that has the, you know, the dream to make it bigger or better. But I know one thing. We cannot continue just doing the same old things. The Bahamas will not survive that way. Let's take one more call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Is it called?
Mr. Miller.
Hey, how you doing, Robert?
How are you?
I feel good.
Tiger. Well, we've been Tiger so long. When I turn up, we'll go.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what it's like. For 2 years, we've been locked down.
Mm-hmm.
When they left the back button hand, I think we loosen them up to make us tighten them down.
Mm-hmm.
They're even playing with the tourists.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a PCR test, you're going to quarantine for 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
And they're had to have them under critical curfew still. Because I guess he wanted to be safe and sorry. But I guess the guards on our side, since the people become power, our cover went down. I mean, that's the spirit of working, I guess.
Wow.
Get it back to what I want, right? Imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if one man spoils all them become F&Ms. Christmas, they ain't gonna be no big time, big shots. Cabinet ministers, like it's like, because one man make a bad decision, their Christmas is spoiled. Because they can go to Miami and play big shot, go shopping on our dime, or the ministers and chairmen of boards. All them not as normal people. Could you believe that? One man, bad decision.
He
had bad advice, or he had bad luck somewhere. But because one man decision, the people in power, and they're going to party with all the power they got for the next five years. And also, I lost my train of thought.
Okay, Robert, I
lost it. I'm going to call you back.
Yeah, give me a call back. This text right here says, it is raining. Is it raining out there? I don't hear rain. Usually I'm able to hear rain on the roof. I don't hear any rain. Yes, leaving it is raining. But listen, if it's raining, this is the voice of the Lord talking to y'all. Just go and put the soup together. You already know how to do it. Good morning, Mr. Miller. Actually, it is raining. My goodness. Y'all is Basel. Anyway, that's my music. Don't move. I'm going to a break. Leave a Miller, Guardian Radio. We'll be back.
Food security is a challenge for many. Now in a pandemic, many more are unsure of their next meal. Through their Feed 5000 program and a $20,000 donation, AML is working to ensure that everyone has a meal for the holidays, and they're inviting you to help. Now until December 17th, visit any Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, or Domino's in Nassau or Freeport, and Exuma Markets in Georgetown to donate and help feed a family in need this Christmas. No amount is too small. Remember, we're all in this together.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Hey, did you find the show interesting? Do you want to be a part of the conversation? Well, sponsor Unleashed today. Call 302-2304 or 302-2375 to see which package is right for you. Join Layvon Miller as he ignites the passion of the next generation by bridging the gap with engaging conversations and innovative ideas. Take action and sponsor Unleashed today at 302-2304 or 302-2375 and be unleashed.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. It's Levin Malayan on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My phone lines are 323-622-325-4316, 325-4259. You can call me on those. You can text me on 422-4796. This here says, Mr. Miller, when I suggested a night bus service would have a huge economic impact, they short-circuited it. Mr. Miller, homeporting was a negotiating tactic as admitted by RCL CEO. Yes, but I'm not because someone set out to goosey you. Hey, man, you can't get something good out of the gooseying. You following me? Because at the very least, if they goosey you, at some point the gooseying have to stop. And I have a good friend that say, if you goosey me, don't stop. Because as soon as you stop, guess who chance it is to do the goosey-in? And so I think Bahamian politicians, Bahamian policymakers, Bahamian legislators have to figure out, again, they use words like big and bold and brave. I think we still tiptoe in. And I don't know. I want the Minister of Transport to decide that, you know something, there are many pockets of this island that have no access to public transportation, and I'm going to expand that in the next year. There are buses or bus services or taxi services that need to go into the corners of this economy so that people could get out of the house and into the economy and start spinning it. And I'm going to make that happen in the next year. The Minister of the Economic Affairs, I need him to tell these shop owners, particularly these gas stations, because I don't know why they still locking down at 9 o'clock. Hey, listen. Hey, what y'all doing? No, man, it's time to go. It's go time, my friend. Let's open these up. And I don't care if only 6 people come through here. If you build it, they will come. And I'm not seeing that. And if you don't believe me, you take a drive around at 10 o'clock at night and see what you see. The former administration has comfortably put the breath of poverty in the mouth of these people and lulled them all. They all happy just being poor and home now. Let's take a phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
I don't know my train of thought now. It is that, like Menace, right? I come to town, we give us 60 days after license our cars, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's an act. That's a real act. That's a real power.
I had the same discrepancy, Robert. What I am advised, and I haven't checked it, so give me a chance to check it, because I too had the same difficulty, was that because the original emergency order had expired and all of these were just extensions to the emergency order, that the 60-day window, and someone told me this, so I haven't confirmed this.
No, I don't buy that. That's in the act. What is told that act to court, the judge.
In my case, I intend to license my car today. I ain't playing with them. I see the police them out here. They look hot and heavy. This look like Jamaica outside, actually. There's plenty of police. I don't know. I even didn't know we had all these police. I am afraid, Robert. I am very, very afraid. I am very afraid. And if you know the traffic court judge, he's not to be messed with. He is a very serious judge. He's a very serious judge, and I ain't taking no chance with him. Well, if you all right, Robert, thanks. If you can't afford the license in your car, though, man, for Jesus' sake, go license in your car, all right? Because I ain't a license in mine. I enjoy the sweetness. Like the cat, I done suck up all. Now I ain't a license in my car because the man say license it, and I see the police them out here, and they look like the police, mister. So I'm not playing with them because I don't want them to play with me. This here says, good morning, Mr. Miller. Rubus gas station will be open 24 hours as of today. All right, that's good to hear. It's raining, Miller. It's soup day. All y'all people who keep telling me it's soup day, I notice y'all bring soup for Warren McCartney. And I never hear Warren talk with soup around here, never in my life. But all of a sudden, I hear Warren on the radio eating soup, and I don't know when Warren start to love soup. But that's okay. I don't know. Good morning, Mr. Miller. When you talk about the time businesses are open, you got to factor in the criminal element. Our security guards are unarmed. So what suggestions you and me can come up with, invite persons to come up with some in order to make money, you got to spend some. I would suggest those businesses who would like to open later to hire at least about 2 armed officers to protect your business, your patrons, and your employees. The Police Staff Association has a wonderful accommodation for that. They got gun. Hire them. Right, the government could take this ridiculous $150 on shotgun licenses down, right? And more people would actually go license their shotgun so they could go quail hunting in the event a quail tried to break into their business establishment. They would be able to hunt quail. Thirdly, they could just allow businessmen to have sidearms. They could just let businessmen have concealed carry. Y'all driver got concealed carry. Why he need one? It's because y'all won't feel safe. So why I can't have none? And that would generate revenue for the government of the Bahamas. Toby and RCL and all those issues need to be put before us Bahamian people to decide. We need ombudsman, local government, and think tanks, and all aboard to improve this nation. I agree with that. Let's take this call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning, Mr. Miller.
Hey, Sparky.
How you doing? Now, you're talking about that piece, super thing about one head the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Michael Jackson said, look in the mirror, and if you don't like what you see, make a change.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Mr. McCarthy color, and look at your color, it's two different colors.
Yeah?
So, who bring that soup to McCartney is of your light color.
Oh, this light skin privilege happening now.
Yeah, see them black people, you ever hear about opposites attract?
Yeah.
You ever notice that black people like to hang around white people?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So you see, until one won, get his own freak.
My goodness. I need to get
you
me.
You might have to pay extra 10.
My goodness.
Now, on that thing about the national insurance and whether you know what you... if it's sustainable and everything. Let me ask you this. I was there when it started in 1974. Every place I worked, they took out my money and this and that, and now I live off my natural and national insurance contribution.
Mm-hmm.
The old people used to say, if you don't dig no well, don't throw no bucket for no water.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't throw no hand, don't expect no ace to draw.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a lot of people around now. We all have the opportunity. I'm 70. And from when I was a child, we had the opportunity to go to church, get a good religious background, go to school and get a good education, come out, look for a job, and try to take care of yourself and your family. Now, there are those that choose to go play and don't do those things that we were taught to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when you didn't go to school or didn't go to church to get an education or a religious upbringing, now when you finish school, you've been playing all that time, and ain't got no duck in your head, you can't find no job, you want to sit on the block all day, drink, collect, and smoke beady, and then you want to go to national insurance and social service to pick up something, and you ain't put nothing in the kitty.
Mm-hmm.
See, that ain't fair to the people who been putting their money and making their contributions.
No, but the pensions the minister talking about ain't those ones, Sparky. The pensions the minister talking about is public service pensions.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in general. And the public service pension also, remember, those people that were working for private corporations, they were paying the full amount of their national insurance contribution, and the company paid the balance.
Uh-huh.
In government cases, the government didn't pay the full national insurance for government people. They paid a portion.
Uh-huh.
That's why you see that my withdrawal every month might be more than yours.
Okay.
Because they didn't pay the full amount yet, what they were taking from me per week or what they were taking from you per week. You'll see a mass difference.
I think that's based on salary scale, though, Sparky. I don't know if that's
based
on...
No, it wasn't based. It was one time ago, they had a $400 limit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, for example, if I was making $400 and you was making $300, they was taking out the same amount from me, but they taking out to you. Mm-hmm. The man who was making $1,000 a week, they was, guess what they was taking out from him?
The same
if they
amount.
Was taking $4 out of mine per week, they was only taking $4 out of the fellow for $1,000 a week.
Yeah, yeah, because it's
if they
gap.
Had taken out by percentage, it would have been different. If they say 10%,
right?
Everybody would have paid 10%.
No, but 10%, 10% of 10 and 10% of 100 is two different 10.
And four for me.
Mm-hmm.
For 400. But they didn't ferry that relation like an American. They said that across the board, social services is 36%.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes for everybody who works it. But at the end of the day, when you go to get your social services check with your green card, you get your percentage, what you put in, what you're supposed to get.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, they fair with some people, and then some people, they ain't put nothing in, but they can still go get $200 a month.
Yeah, non-contributory pension, that's what they call it.
And they're the ones who rowing the most. You ain't put no water, you ain't dig no well, but you throw in bucket to get water. Mm-hmm. That ain't fair. Have a good day.
Appreciate it, Sparky. 323-623-2354-316-325-4259. But, you know, I hear people in the private sector say, well, I had to contribute to mine. Well, I'll tell you something. When you hire me, you can't adjust my contract in the middle of my employment, right? And when you hire me, you tell me if I work for 25 years, you can pay me a pension. I say yes. You say okay. You say now. You might get shoot doing this job and dead. I say, boy, shooting dead? That sounds tough. Yeah, and you got to run up and down and jump up and down too. So when you're done, your knees could be bad and your back could be bad. I say, boy, I need my back, right? But you know something? I really want this job. Give it to me. Fine. Now, you can't be mad at me when the man give me pension and I ain't put a dollar in because that's what we agree to when I come here. You going to go be banker because you wanted to wear coat, suit, and tie. Well, that on you. Well, you contribute to yours, but you don't get in my business. All I am now saying is, when I see the government doing things like extending the age that people could serve, I then wonder how you can find, unless they plan for all BDF Marines to be dead by 59, how you can find 5 more years worth of salary plus the man pension is what I want to know. Let's take another phone call. Good morning, Carly. You're on.
Hey, Brother Miller. What's up today?
Hey, do it.
I need to start calling you what? Reverend or Dr. O.A. Miller or Pastor Miller?
No, man.
Because you always preaching.
No, man. I
Mr. Miller, when you walk inside the Chinese, in particular the big Chinese, when you walk inside there, don't you see an armed police officer 9 out of 10 times?
Outside the Chinese?
No, inside the Chinese. Like I said, when you walk inside, most of the times, like the big Chinese.
I rarely go in
like
the Chinese. I also, you correct, though, yes.
Okay. Now, why is it that some of our own Bahamian people who own these multi-businesses refuse to go and find out how you can hire an armed police? But why is it that you people complain about you can't have a licensed shotgun, the security can't have carry a service revolver or something? But that's why the police is there.
Mm-hmm.
And every business person that I know personally who has businesses, you know they have their armed police.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with their service revolver, and they are in the uniforms sometimes, or sometimes they're in their plain clothes. So the same way my Bahamian people, the Chinese, could go and pay for their protection, you can go pay for your protection too.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's just a heads up, bro.
Appreciate it, Dwight.
All right.
Let me see if I got time for one more. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. You can text me on 422-4796. Like I said, I mean, I just wanted to talk to you all today because, you know, I come here to let them say I like to preach to people. I really don't be trying to preach to people. I just think about some things a whole lot of times, and I just want to know if anybody else is thinking about it. So, again, I hope, it is my hope that these young people, there are young people in this administration, right? Like the member for Nassau Village, the member for Elizabeth, the member for Golden Gates. These are all very young people, not old anyway. And I think that there ought to be a bit more dynamism. There ought to be a bit more, like you, I think you ought to be able to look around and say, my God, just these people, good. Other than that, I think they're going to squander away a 60-month window where they get an opportunity to prove to the Bahamas that in a rut, the resilience of the Bahamian people would still bail us out. And I don't know if I see that. I don't know if I see that drive happening. I don't know if I see anything that makes me say, oh, man, these fellas really was planning on being the government. And it's the small things, you know. It's the small things. It's no way you need 12 weeks to decide who all going to be on which board. You know who all the PLPs are. You know you plan to put PLPs there. Unless they dead, you should have done have one list full of all the living PLPs you want to be on every board you want. And some people could be mad, and you tell them, man, don't be mad. Use a PLP, good, all the way. They can say all the way, and you all could be smooth. By now, you should have decided what you can do with your commissioner of police, whether or not that's going to be a thing. What you could do with your customs department, whether or not that could be a thing. What you could do about reopening the economy, and not just, oh, we letting flights in, or if you're vaccinated, you don't need a PCR test. No, but like when we open it, what exactly is the product going to be? Are we going to create nightlife? How are we going to create nightlife? What is my Minister of Culture's budget going to be? And what is that going to look like? What we can do about Arawaki, because that's a dump. What are we going to do about places like that that are largely attached to the driving force of the economy, that is the metropolitan city area of Nassau? How do we kickstart it all? You can't just dress up and fly up and down. That don't make no sense at all. People have problems, real ones. Like they've been furloughed for 18 months and now you're going to send them home for another 3 months with uncertainty. The NIV benefit is going to come to an end in December. Yeah, you can get them $500 extra, but then what? And my daddy always says, you know, you can't brag to me, but you're growing grass if your cows are in the yard dying. I want to leave you all with that. Anyway, that's my time. Happy Thursday, man. It's Stephen Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news and smart talk. So don't move. They've got the news. That's now.